You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
From MyDomain.com, this is Second Life, a podcast spotlighting women who have truly inspiring careers. We're talking about their work journeys, what they've learned from the process of setting aside their doubts or fears, and what happens when they embark on their second life. Today, we have an amazing guest and one who's currently making a big difference in my life, holistic nutritionist, wellness expert, and celebrity health coach, Kelly Levesque, also known as Be Well by Kelly. Kelly has this incredible book called Body Love. She also has an app with Simone of Body by Simone, and she works with about a billion celebrities, including Jessica Alba, Molly Sims, and Jennifer Garner. But here's the thing. Kelly didn't start out as this nutritional guru with a cult following on Instagram. Oh no. She started out in pharmaceutical and medical device sales before starting her wellness work as a side hustle. This is Kelly Levesque on Second Life. Okay, so Kelly, you are this amazing holistic nutritionist. You have this crazy platform, a following of rabid enthusiasts, and this unbelievable career. But before we talk about that, let's go back to the beginning. What did you start out doing, and what did you think your career was going to look like circa college?
Right. So I'm going to have to take you back to my senior year of college because—
Please. Time portal, let's go.
Yeah. So my dad went to USC and was a business finance major. I'm the oldest of three girls. I went to every USC game growing up. So I was going to USC to be a business finance major, just like my dad. And then my senior year, I took my science classes because bachelor in science— for finance, you got to take some science courses. And I took Nature of Human Health and Disease and biochem, called my dad. It's the best grades I ever got at USC. Called my dad crying. I should have been pre-med.
Crying because you found something that you loved. And this is what, your junior year?
It was my senior year.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I saved it to the very end. So I call my dad crying. And it's interesting because had I looked back at high school, my favorite class in high school was health. Mm. And all I read was diet books, shape, women's health, you know, women's fitness, all the magazines. That's where, you know, I played soccer. That's where my passion was. But I never really thought it could be a career because back in the day, going to, you know, USC to be a registered dietitian meant that you were working in a hospital or a dialysis center. Or a cancer center, just trying to keep weight on people. And that's not necessarily what I wanted to talk about, like drinking an Ensure or something like that.
Like, it's like the depressing but very important version.
Right. And it, you know, being that my dad was like, you are cut off the day you graduate. You have to do it all by yourself.
I also that's not as lucrative,
not
right?
Not a very lucrative career at all. So I called him crying. Dad, I think I need to switch and be pre-med. And he's like, that's funny. I mean, I've had a lot of fun paying for 4 years of USC, but if you want to be pre-med, you're going to have to take care of the payments yourself. And so what I ended up doing was deciding to pair my business career with, with science. Mm-hmm. And so I went into pharmaceutical sales and the medical device industry out of school. There was a class at USC called sales strategy, and they brought in sales reps from everything from like Gallo Wines to, pharmaceutical companies, food companies, and they talked about their careers and what the day-to-day looked like. So I knew I eventually wanted to get into the OR with the operating room, and so I knew I had to have some sales experience. So my first job was with Johnson & Johnson selling pharmaceuticals.
So
you didn't have a background in pharmaceutical sales. How did you get that first job? And did you like selling things?
Interestingly enough, my job in college, like on Christmas break and holidays and summer, was selling shoes at Nordstrom's. Yeah. So a lot of people don't know that.
Oh, my God. That's an amazing job.
Yeah. And I just was really good at sales. I don't feel like I was really pushy. I was more like the type of person that would educate, like, oh, these are really comfortable, or this style is really in right now, and it's versatile with this outfit or that outfit, and I did well in it. So it was interesting because I ended up getting an internship at a pharmaceutical company in Irvine, and then I had my Nordstrom's actually gave you your sales printout. So I had some sales experience, and I finagled. I mean, most people have to have some other type of sales role before they can get a job in pharmaceuticals. But knowing that I wanted to eventually get into the device, I tried to fast track it. So
Can we pause just for a second? When to go back, when you say device, to get into device, what does that mean for the layperson / civilian / me?
Yeah. So medical device is anything from drills to hips and knees. So you can be selling like almost
hips.
Like – Yeah.
Hips.
You can be selling titanium hips, or you could be selling drills for cranial sacral surgeries. You could be so what I ended up selling was a device that was implanted for breast cancer. But the cool part is with devices, they're constantly coming out with new technology. So unlike pharmaceuticals, where a doctor might have heard of that drug before and you're sort of just a glorified caterer. Hey, here's some free lunch. Here's a pamphlet on my product. You should write a prescription for it, not knowing if you sold anything, because you leave and then the doctor writes a prescription for a patient for whatever they want to write it for. And then you get the information later, which is sold from, you know, the pharmacy back to the pharmaceutical companies, and you get your numbers like 3 months later.
Well, so that's got to be a terrible feedback loop for your performance, because you don't know if you're being effective or not.
You have no idea. And for someone who loves like numbers and analytics,
and it's data driven.
Yeah, it's the worst thing ever. And I just knew, because with device, you walk in, doctor, you know, has the hospital buy your product. You show up at the operating room. They've never used this before. You are literally the expert on the product, teaching them how to use it on a patient.
Okay, so wait, let's go back. So pharmaceutical sales with Johnson & Johnson.
Yes.
You're doing that for how long?
A year and like 2 months. I was trying to get out as fast as possible.
And then you wanted to move over into medical devices,
yes.
Which in addition to selling them to hospitals and doctors and whatnot, you also are responsible for educating and teaching the doctors how to use it.
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Right.
That's insane. I had no idea. That's so exciting. Okay, so that's what you meant by you wanted to get into the OR.
Yeah, I wanted to get into the operating room. I wanted to have a device where a doctor didn't learn about it in residency. They didn't learn about it in medical school. It's new technology.
Because it's new.
It's brand new. And that's the cool part, is with a brand new device comes brand new research. You're able to show them studies, efficacy studies. You're able to show how they can improve, you know, whether it's, like, for example, the Da Vinci is robotic surgery. I mean, robotic surgery. Those reps sell $1 million robot to a hospital. They make 10% of that every time they sell one. They sell 5 to 6 a year, and they're teaching.
That adds up to a very lucrative
career.
Biz.
Yeah. So it's a pretty insane career. And my parents genuinely freaked out when I left, but to be an hourly employee. I mean, it was really fun because the doctors, they had to listen to you. When it came to pharmaceuticals, they're like, yeah. Maybe they signed for some free samples and met you for 10 minutes for lunch, but really wanted to talk about football or a new restaurant that opened in LA. They wanted you to wine and dine them. It was Love and Other Drugs, if you ever saw that movie. Yeah, I mean, I'm taking doctors out when I'm 22 years old who are 52. They don't want to bring their wives. It's
cool. I get where you're going with this.
I was like, get me out of here.
Uh-huh. So wait, then you go into cancer.
Yeah. So the device I was selling was in breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So I eventually moved into personalized medicine in cancer. And what that meant, a company called Agendia was born out of the Netherlands Cancer Institute. In the Netherlands, they didn't treat people with chemotherapy for a certain number of years. And so they would take... They would cut out solid state tumors like breast tumors, and they had a bank of them. So they had years and years and years of frozen tumors that they could study.
That's a bank I don't want to go to.
I know. It's kind of crazy to think about.
But it's so fascinating.
But it's so fascinating because you can get so much research when something hasn't been treated yet. In the United States, if there's a really big tumor, you'll treat someone with cancer first, try to shrink it, then cut it out, then treat them again. And that's not really going to tell us really what's going on with that tumor because you've treated it first. So what they ended up doing was able to map the genome of all of these breast cancer tumors, and they found that there were different feeding pathways of cancer. And what they could identify was almost a blueprint. And then they were able to take these types of tumors and in specific women, like test for those blueprints and then treat them with specific chemotherapy agents. And they knew immediately if that was actually treating that type of cancer.
So it's smart chemo rather than sort of like napalming the whole field and burning it all down.
Exactly. And when you think about chemotherapy, it's so toxic. It's, you know, people's hair is falling out. It's killing all the good bacteria in their body. It's really killing everything. And it's really hard on people to come back from that. And they have inflammation, all kinds of side effects. And so why would you throw the whole kitchen sink at them if you could be targeted? So that's what came about, and it was amazing. I mean, not only were you better at targeting tumors and actually getting them to shrink and actually getting, you know, better survival rates, but no one was using genetics in cancer, and this company came out, and because of my, I guess, history in sales and training and breast cancer with my device. So the device I sold was a radiation device that was implanted into the breast. So I had breast cancer background as well. I could move into this company, and I spent the end of my career really teaching people about genes and how they can be turned on and how they can, you know, activate growth.
Got it.
So yeah, I mean, way the end of my career in that part of cancer and genetics was really a deep dive into genetics. It was really a deep dive into being able to take really hard information and make it easy for these doctors to understand. And I think that's what's made me good at my job, is taking science and making it accessible so that I'm not handing my clients an eat and do not eat list. I'm not telling them, oh, just don't eat this or eat this because I say so. It's like, give them a little bit of science, allow them to understand it, and then they're self-motivated.
Yeah. Okay, so at what point did you decide to put more energy into the nutrition path? And at what point did you decide, I mean, like, were you having clients on the side? When did the Second Life happen? Walk us through that.
2012. So
recently.
So 2011 to 2012, I went back to school for a health coaching degree.
While still working?
While still working.
Girl.
So it was an online school, and I had looked at really expensive RD programs. I, you know, looked at spending $80,000 on an education and being in school for 2 more years. But I wanted to make sure it's something I wanted to do. So I did the online program, decided to put in, you know, a certain number of thousands of dollars versus like $80,000. And
was this through a university or
so? It's the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, which is very just like broad online. It was okay. I wanted to be able to just stamp my graduation certificate and just start seeing clients.
Yes.
And to see if that one-on-one really worked for me and if I enjoyed it and if I could help people. And so I started seeing clients around the summer of 2012. And that looked like seeing them before work, on my lunch break, after work.
How did you even find clients?
I worked with the first like half dozen of my clients for free. So one of my husband's friends was getting married and his wife wanted to lose some weight for her wedding.
Shedding for the wedding.
Yes. So I had like put up my website. I had Be Bridal, Be Baby, and Be Beautiful. I was like, do you just have a baby? Let me help you. Just get married, you know, looking to get married? Let me help you. I was just
so wanting, like, these watershed moments.
Yeah. And And one, those people are super motivated.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, it's a great test group because they actually have a reason to want to get in shape.
Exactly. So I really just wanted to get those testimonials. Mm-hmm. I wanted to prove my concept. I wanted to.
What was your concept?
My concept was blood sugar balance, an anti-inflammatory diet, but it's really formulaic. So I call it the Fab Four. It's to put four things on your plate at every meal: protein, fat, fiber, and greens. In my research and looking at hunger hormones, you have over 8 hunger hormones in your body, and they're turned off by specific mechanisms. The stretching of your stomach. So if you're eating fiber and greens and not just drinking a juice, you can stretch it. If you put some flax and chia in your smoothies, can make it thicker, and that's going to stretch your stomach as well. Protein turns off about 4 of them. Fat, I mean, when you eat fat versus not eating fat, I mean, I always use the example, poached chicken and steamed broccoli, or take that and saute it with some really spicy pesto, and what's going to make you feel calm and relaxed? The fat releases cholecystokinine, which is the most intense satiety hormone you can have. It really does a good job of elongating your blood sugar curve, so you don't need to snack. And most of the snacks out there are processed junk, where people are having crackers and chips and a bar, which they're like a protein bar. And I'm like, a protein, most like, of the protein bars are, carbohydrate bars, guys. So a lot of sugar. So it's just the basics, and not that people can't ever have crackers and chips and whatever. It's about finding those versions of those products that aren't going to spike your blood sugar too high, and that maybe have more fiber, and or it's sort of like a help. I'm at the airport. I'm going to grab an RX bar. Maybe it's not the best because there's high sugar in those dates, but it's better than McDonald's. So, I think I'm realistic too, which I think
People appreciate.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just not the nutritionist who didn't. I grew up on Bagel Bites, taquitos, whatever Costco could offer. I know what Sprinkles cupcakes taste like. I'm not going to pretend that this stuff isn't good or that I didn't grow up loving it.
I see your Instagram. You like a little wine from time to time.
I do. And a dirty martini with blue cheese stuffed olives is like.
Sign me up.
Please.
So this was your formula, though. Were you doing smoothies at this point, too, or no?
So this smoothies, come later. The smoothies happened with one of. This was also a client that I worked with pro bono. I started working with a client who was a Wilhelmina model, and she wasn't hitting weight goals. She was tall and thin, but kind of skinny fat. And we talked about her diet, and it was really like cigarettes, green juices, heading to the club and like sitting at a table and drinking like a vodka soda or a vodka Red Bull. And I was like, this
delightful.
Is a formula for, this is a formula for depression, anxiety,
and yucky skin.
The body composition that you're having. Exactly. Very yucky skin. So I was like, I need to do something to at least turn off some hunger hormones in her body, at least get her some protein so that, people don't realize this, but you constantly break down and rebuild your body. You break down and rebuild your body 9 times in your life. So it's called apoptosis, programmed cell death. So when you break down a cell, you need to rebuild it. And you rebuild it with 2/3 old protein and old cells and 1/3 new protein. So to say that you never need protein, even my raw vegans, I'm getting them at least 50 grams of protein. It gives you energy. It's what your body's made up of. So we got to, keep that protein on your body so you don't look like you're aging. So I knew she needed protein. I knew she needed some healthy fat to absorb her fat-soluble vitamins and her antioxidants. So I literally went to her house, ripped the labels off of a protein powder, gave her some MCT oil, which is known for burning fat, and spouted science at her about how this was going to actually help her hit goals, put some acacia fiber, chia and flax on, in her cabinet for some good fiber to make sure she was, pooping. It's important. And I got her some leafy greens, so spinach, some frozen kale stuff in her freezer. It was kind of one of those things where there was nothing in her apartment kitchen, so everything needed to be shelf stable or in the freezer, and I was totally fine. I mean, that's so many of my clients. Yep. They're on the go, they're traveling, if they don't have something, they won't make it. So we're like, let's make sure that you have 4 bags of frozen spinach in your freezer. You have a huge container of your protein, fat, and bags of fiber. And if worse comes to worse, you have to make it with water. But this is what I want you to make. And it took us about 6 weeks, but she started getting results out of her trainer because the green juice before the trainer wasn't working. And so I'd have her work out, and then I'd have her smoothie. And it was about 6 weeks, and we hit goals. And what I started to realize was that she would text me at like 3 or 4 o'clock, like, I'm just now getting hungry. And so I started using it with more clients. And I started looking into the research a little deeper about what, you know, was really happening internally for these clients. And I just started to give people a little light structure because I like the idea that you get to make the choice of whether you want salmon or chicken or eggs or vanilla pea-based protein. I like the idea that you pick your fat. If you're afraid of saturated fat, which you shouldn't be, but if you are, avocado, almond butter, something like that. And then just really empowering people to put those veggies and greens on their plate or in their smoothie.
Okay, so you have these clients on the side.
Mm-hmm.
You're still working full time.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next?
So it lasts a little bit longer than most people would expect.
Which I love about your story because, by the way, like there's the overnight success story is not really a thing. It's like a long, slow hustle. And I think it's important for people to realize that. Like it's not like you just snap and everything changes overnight. I mean, it can, but
right.
it's after lots of building. So anyway, so you keep going as is with two careers
yeah.
simultaneously. Super stressful. Wow.
Right. So that happens until June of 2015, where, you know, I call my boss at Agendia, the genetics company, and I let her know, look, I've been kind of sort of doing this stuff on the side. And she's actually my Facebook friend. So she sees me post like articles. Like I was writing for My Domain and Birdie.
Yeah, girl.
Back in the day. So people look back and they're like, oh, well, you were writing all these articles and you were seeing all these clients. I'm like, I was seeing clients for free for, I want to say, the first half year, just to get those testimonials and have them tell their friends or walk into a party and have someone go, oh, what happened? You look bright. You look light. You look happy, you know, and let the word of mouth really start to spread. I was writing articles for free. I literally cold emailed Click Media to say, hey, I'm really into science. I would love to write free articles for you. I can share information. I can hyperlink studies. I can give people real goals that, you know, or real tasks that will give them goals and results. It was a lot of hustle, like long nights, working weekends. And so finally in June of 2015, I called my boss. I'm like, hey, she's like, I've seen your articles. You post them on Facebook. I'm like, well, and she's like, you drink your smoothie at all of our sales meetings. Everyone knows you love health and nutrition. I'm like, well, yeah, I've been seeing clients on the side and it's really starting to pick up steam. And I really want to take it full time. So I'm trying to decide like when to put my 2 weeks in. And she's like, well, let me go back to the management team and see if they will hire you as a consultant, because I know I basically had brought on 3 really big accounts. I was covering the 8 West Coast states. I had 4 people working under me, and Cedar
Sinai.
You've
been doing a really great job at your job, essentially.
Sales is my thing. Like, I'm pretty good at sales, or I was. And so I brought on Cedar Sinai, which was like obviously, you're in L.A., we're in L.A. It's a really big hospital.
It's like the hospital.
Yeah, it's a huge cancer center, and that was a whale. And I got that account, and they were afraid if I left, we would lose it. So like, well, what if we just gave you 4 or 5 or 6 accounts, and we kept you on until the middle of September so that you could train the person that we hire for your territory. We'll hire that person at the same time. And then anytime you go into these accounts that you've basically converted over to, you know, our technology, you can bring the new rep in and everything will kind of transition in the right direction. We'll keep these accounts. And it was amazing because being a consultant, you make more than you do, more than you do when you're an employee, if you're making sales. So it's awesome. I think when you put what you want out into the world and you're willing to be flexible and you're willing to hustle, people don't want to lose you, and or they're willing to be flexible with you. So it isn't always that you have to call your boss and put your 2 weeks in. Like, what can we do to make the transition easy for both of us?
Yes. I always say that you have to ask for what you want. Know what your boss is not a mind reader.
Yes.
Like, you don't know. And if you do, if you put it out there in the world, it's amazing what comes back to you. And the other part of it, too, is like as an employer, 2 weeks are the worst. I wish people gave me 2 months. When I quit my very first job, I gave 2 weeks and I realized that I actually put them in kind of a bind, even though I had known months before that I was going to leave New York and leave my job at Elle.
Yeah.
But I was so afraid that if I told them I was quitting, that they would just fire me that day or like say, okay, you're gone, get out of here. Yeah. And then I wouldn't have my salary until it was time for me to go. Whereas now I realize, like, I look at this with our employees, like, I just wish that oftentimes people gave you more notice. And admittedly, it depends on where you work and who you are as an employee. If you're a bad employee, I don't necessarily advise getting a longer notice because people are not going to want to stick around.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there's something really important and brave about asking for what you want. And what's the worst thing that can happen? They can say no.
Yeah. You're in the same position you were before you asked.
So you asked for what you wanted. You got it. You're now able to start transitioning. At that point, how many clients did you have?
So it's interesting because, like we talked about in the beginning, I'm not really about signing people up for 10 sessions with me because that's what's going to take to hit your goals. I really like to earn my business every single time I have a session, so I don't do packages. And people get a little frustrated with that sometimes because they like to have their next appointment scheduled, which I'm happy to do at the end of a call or a meeting. But the whole point of this is for me to teach you the science, empower you to walk into a grocery store, into a restaurant, jump on an airplane and fly somewhere new, and know that you'll be okay. Because the last thing you should have anxiety about or be stressing about is your food and your food choices, and I want to take that away from my clients. So it's a little bit interesting, but I was seeing somewhere between 4 and 6 clients a day on the days that I wasn't seeing my cancer clients. So I was seeing cancer clients on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and half day Saturday I was seeing clients.
So did you have a business plan? Did you have, were you worried about what this would mean financially? Did you have a savings account in case things got a little lean for a minute?
Yeah. So one, I did have a savings account. It was really important to me that I had some cushion and stability. Obviously, working for 8 years and being a finance major, if I didn't have some savings, what did USC teach me, right? But it's hard because you start to dip into that. There's been times in the last, 3 to 5 years where I've had to for specific things. I wanted a new website. There are things where you make an investment in your business and you cross your fingers and you hustle and you hope it works out. So, yes, I had a savings, but a little bit of a backstory. My husband was a corporate attorney, mergers and acquisitions, being groomed to take over the corporate division at Baker and Hostetler on the west side of LA. And he came home six months after we got married. We got married in February of 2012. And he came home and he said, "Babe, I hate my job. I don't want to be a lawyer."
Double second life.
And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Did you have any inkling that that was?
I mean, he had nightmares where he would wake up and start talking about clients that he, quote unquote, couldn't even really talk to me about and deals because of insider trading. Mm-hmm. He worked 14 to 18 hour days where I would drive him dinner to the office. And my husband is the most creative person ever. Like in our group of friends, when we plan trips to go away or we do something, he's the one that does like recap emails and everyone has a personality and he's retelling the stories. Like he's a storyteller. He's a creative. So I knew that he wasn't using his talents. I mean, he just really wasn't. And I was so excited about this second career that I was starting. I think he was also really motivated by that. So
I'm sorry, this is all happening at the same time?
Yeah.
So you're leaving your lucrative job and he's leaving his lucrative job to become entrepreneurs and work for yourselves?
Yeah. So we basically were at a place where we're like, hey, let's buy a house in the Palisades to like, hey, let's sell our cars and get a 1998 beater Toyota Tacoma, one car, and live in our apartment and not have nightstands and have our parents freaking out.
Struggle is real.
Yeah. So he left his job before I did, which I think elongated my transition as well. But I did have a little bit of a plan. We definitely had some savings. When I went to USC, I had taken this business course and Dean Ellis of the business school, I remember this so vividly in a class, was like, the successful people in Los Angeles have 5 different streams of income. To live here, to buy a house here, to raise your family here, to have 2.5 kids and a dog, you have 5 different streams of income. And it does not mean that it doesn't come under the same umbrella company, but Do you have a product? Do you have speaking engagements? Do you have books? Are you seeing clients? Do you, you know,
diversify?
Just diversify. And that was the smartest thing I think anyone has ever told me in business, and something that I've taken with me. So when I was seeing clients privately and I was speaking at events at this point, those were the only two things I was being paid for. But before I left, I had this thought that I was going to figure out how to get a book.
Okay.
Now, books are not as lucrative as people tell you.
No joke. They're really just like promotional vehicles.
They're platforms. They're like a resume builder. Mm-hmm. They open other doors.
I bought yours at full price. Just saying, I am a proud owner, and my father saw it when he was at my house recently, and he was impressed by what has been happening with me, and he went ahead and bought it. So, John Kerr in
La
Jolla.
Thank you, John Kerr. We appreciate you.
So anyway, so you wanted a book.
So yeah, so I wanted to expand my reach. I wanted to help more people than the people I could see hourly on a daily basis.
Scale.
And I thought, yeah, scale. You got to think about scale. And so you're like, do I do online programs? Do I write a book? How do I reach more people? How? And so that was the first thing I wanted to do.
Did social media factor into it for you at this point, or no, not yet?
Yes, in the fact that when I went and started meeting with agents in New York that November, so we had had a trip to New York to visit friends who had gone to business school in New York and never came back. So we wanted to go see our friends. And so Chris and I jumped on a plane. But before we went, I had emailed all of these agents, cold emailed, didn't have introductions to these people. You know, a third of them wrote me back. And
not bad numbers, by the way.
Huh?
Not bad numbers.
No, not bad numbers. But there were a lot. I had sent emails to like 12 or 15 people. So I had four meetings when I got out there, and two pretty big ones where I was like, I really want these agents. And both of them, I mean, one said, come back to me when you have 200,000 followers on Instagram or 200,000 MailChimp newsletter subscribers. And I was like, at this point, I had less than 20,000, which I thought had taken me almost 5 years. I thought that was like the craziest thing ever.
You're like, strangers follow me. This is amazing.
I'm like, I don't know. I think this is kind of a lot of people. But in the social sphere, not really. So then that became something where now I went back to Click Media and was like, hey, I will continue to write for free and grow my platform, because that was, you guys were offering me a chance to have free press. And so what I ended up doing was kind of going back and saying, hey, do you mind putting my handle in the first two sentences of the caption, or can I hyperlink my Instagram when it says written by Kelly Levesque, or can I put a hyperlink back to a recipe on my website to drive traffic back to my website? So then I started to learn this whole social side of things, where it's a business to grow your business if you don't have the money to pay PR, and PR is so expensive. Like, even when I launched my book, I was like, okay, I need to save one of my advance to pay a PR team, and they only do a minimum of 6 months. And then once you pay a PR team, by the way, they give you a lot of homework to answer a lot of questions for different outlets. And then they want you to be different places, so you need to be able to pay for the flights and the hair and the makeup and the dresses.
Promoting a book is so expensive.
It's so expensive, and it's so much work. And it takes not only that, but when you talk about the fact that my income and our family's only income was coming from the hourly clients I was seeing daily, it was pretty scary.
So I also feel like you have had the good fortune and also good smart hustle of also working with a number of high-profile clients. Has that been very impactful on your business as well?
Absolutely. I mean, the perfect example is how Jessica Alba became my client. I was approached by Kara Events, which is an event planning company here in Los Angeles. They were hosting a launch party for Honest Products at Target at the Lombardi House in Hollywood. It was a healthy garden soiree. They were going to have catering by, you know, beautiful organic farm-to-table company. They wanted me to sit in a little furniture vignette and do one-on-one nutrition sessions with people for 15 to 20 minutes as the bloggers came in and took their pictures. And I was basically like an experience at the event.
Yes.
They didn't have a budget to pay me, but they thought it would be a good
experience.
Yeah, good experience and a great exposure moment to meet all these bloggers who had like anywhere from 100 to, you know, a Mariana Hewitt, where you're like, you're almost at 1 million people. So of course I said yes. The event cost me money. I bought an outfit. I went to Blushington and Dry Bar, got my hair and makeup done, and drove over. And I sat in my little furniture vignette for 4 hours, and I didn't really talk to anyone because they didn't have good signage, so they thought I was just sitting by myself. So at one point...
No.
Yeah, no, I'm serious.
Oh, sad.
But it's great because...
Hashtag fail.
It's a really... It's people need to realize you don't just get to roll in and be like, yeah, this is who I am, like
I'm
brush my shoulders off. It's... You have to earn it. You have to know your stuff. And you have to have those moments where you're like, yeah, I'm sitting in a furniture vignette by myself.
So do people end up coming to talk to you?
They literally asked me to stand up and go stand by the buffet and talk about the nutrients in the broccoli sprouts and the cauliflower. And so I start to do that. And then, of course, the blogger's like, the food is really good. Can I get a card for your catering company? And I'm like, not the caterer.
Right.
So finally at the end, they're like, you go ahead and like fill your plate. And so I just go and sit back down in my little like cute furniture vignette and I'm eating my food. And then this cute little redhead comes over and it's Lauren Anderson. And that's Jessica Alba's makeup artist and a friend of hers from junior high. And she goes, do you mind if I sit here? I've been on my feet all day doing makeup. And basically, Jess had been with Christopher Gavin, another guy from the Honest Company, had basically been in a press room the entire event, and were going to come out for the last 30 minutes. So they were doing their last little stint of press with whoever, Entertainment Tonight, E! News, whoever was in the press room. And Lauren was finally getting her break to eat and be done for the day. So I'm like, yeah, please take a seat. And she's like, what are you doing here? And I'm almost laughing at this point because I'm like, well... Funny you should ask.
I'm just here sitting here being cute.
Yeah. So I tell her that, you know, this is why I was hired. This is what I was supposed to do. This is basically what has happened all day. And she's like, that's funny. I have like a lot of hand inflammation. I think it's just from doing makeup. We start to get into it. And I'm like, well, what do you eat? And she's like, well, I cut sugar and I pulled out the gluten and I pulled out the dairy. I was like, you know, it's a long shot, but nightshades are, you know, a trigger for people with arthritis. They're a trigger for joint swelling. It would be something that you might want to cut out.
For the civilians, what are nightshades?
So nightshades are plants that grow at night. So tomatoes, eggplant, peppers, mushrooms. And so I was like, why don't we pull those? Just pull those for a couple weeks, or I'm happy to come to your house and we can deep dive for an hour and talk about what you like to eat, and we'll build a lifestyle for you and we'll make a few changes. She's like, okay. Gave her my number. She cuts out nightshades. She's starting to feel better. Shoots me an email. Really excited. Would love for you to come to my house. So it's like 2 weeks later, I go to her house. We get together. It not only does she lose the inflammation, she loses a few pounds. Her skin's glowing. Everyone's like, what are you doing? Why are you? You look so great. And a month later, I have an email that I didn't even know was coming. Kelly, meet my soul sister, Jess. She'd love to meet with you. And that's, yeah.
Word of mouth. You cannot pay for it. It is so important. It's just crazy. Well, that's a really good story. I like that very much. So, question for you. Do you like working for yourself versus a company? Is there stuff that sucks about it? There are certain things I miss about being part of a larger corporation where I am not in charge of anything ever. Mm-hmm. So tell me. Tell me what your experience is like.
Yeah, I would say it definitely seems like this sexy, amazing, free opportunity. And
like, I can have lunch whenever I want.
Yeah.
But it's like, really, you're taking out the trash.
Yeah, exactly. And you're absolutely 100% responsible for the income that comes in for that business. You're responsible for every part of the business. So, you know, when I think about what I love to do, I love to sit down with clients. I love to explain science and studies to them. I love to see what, you know, small changes might get big results for them. I am not great at writing. Like, I'm math and science. My husband copy edits my writing. Like, the grammar, the spelling, it's been an issue for me since I was very little. But you have to realize that's part of my job. Like, to put up an Instagram and to write a caption and to write an article, it's a form of communication that I have to be good at and I have to continue to hone. And it's 100% a part of my reach.
And you're good at communication. You're good at sales.
So yeah.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because on one hand, that's also part of your skill set.
Right. And so I've had to learn that maybe when it comes to writing an article for me, I will use Siri or dictation and answer my own questions and just spew whatever I think needs to be in it. And then I'll take that and try to make, you know, a very understandable paragraph and then send it to my husband for review. So you figure out what you're good at and what you're not good at. Being an entrepreneur is definitely hard. The hours, there are no hours. You're constantly on my phone, you know, emails, texts, social media, keeping up with news, knowing what's going on in my industry.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Was that an earthquake?
Oh, we're definitely having an earthquake right now.
Whoa. Can we leave that in the pod, please? That's kind of amazing.
So cool.
That's the most California thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
All right. Everything's fine. So one of the things I always think about being an entrepreneur is that if you don't create structure within your life and carve out time for self-care, carve out time for your partner, carve out time for working out or whatever that thing is, seeing your friends, filling the tank back up, then you don't have anything to drive the engine.
No, you're empty. And that's, you know, that's a, it's a lot harder to do when you're an entrepreneur.
So what advice would you give women who are contemplating making a big career switch? Like, what do you think? I think one of the brilliant things you did is you set yourself up for success by slowly easing into it and, like, really, like, testing the viability of your business and your business plan and making sure that you could handle all of it. But besides that, what advice would you give?
Well, you want to be so passionate about what you're getting into because you're going to spend twice as many hours on it as you would in a corporate career working for someone else. You want to be really interested in it. And that's something that was really natural for me when it came to health, nutrition, biology. I mean, I wanted to read about this stuff on a Saturday morning with a cup of coffee. And if that's the case, then you could absolutely make a career out of it, because what sets people apart is their drive and their passion. And I think people are surprised sometimes. They're like, wow, how did you grow your business? And how did you, well, I need to be really good at what I do, which requires me to do a lot of research in my space. Second, it needs to be something I do every day. Every single day I was, you know, doing a testing a recipe, writing an article, reading a study, cold emailing, you know, a blog to write for them. I was seeing a client. Not a day went by where I wasn't putting effort, heart, and hustle into the business. And yeah, I did set myself up a little bit differently. I like to say I jumped off a curb instead of a cliff, which for a lot of people, they don't make it that far. They start to put a little time into their side hustle, and then they're like, oh, we have a wedding this weekend. Oh, I want to go to the movies. Oh, well, I want to meet this girl for drinks instead of writing that article. And if you don't take that side hustle as serious or more seriously than your career, it will never be your career.
Amen. That is so smart. I totally agree. Okay, so last question. What are you working on now? You got second book coming up. Do you want to tell us about that? Tell us about your first book, first of all, which is fabulous.
Thank you. So Body Love came out in June of last year, 2017. Body Love talks all about this Fab Four lifestyle and how it can be easy and how you should be focusing on what you put on your plate, not every fear-mongering article you read on the internet about what's going to kill you or give you cancer. And instead, simplify the way that you eat and infuse those plates with flavor via herbs and spices. And if you like hot sauce like Hillary, put some hot sauce on it, whatever it takes.
True story. I texted Kelly. I was like, can I have sriracha? Please tell me I can have sriracha.
The answer is yes.
So what's the next book going to be about?
So the next book is Body Love Elevated. I think we're toying.
Body Lover.
Yeah, it's like we're toying with titles, Body Love Every Day. But basically, it's a workbook guide in the beginning of the Fab Four. And then the second part of the book is archetypes. Archetypes are the vegan and plant-based devotee, domestic goddess. Then I have the working girl boss. Then I have the red carpet. The red carpet is the hardcores. And then I'm actually adding a chapter about the perfectionist. Because it's something, and I take a deep breath, because it's something that I think, you know, perfection is the enemy of good.
Well, I love it. I can't wait for whatever the title will be for it to come out. And it's coming out when?
January 1st of 2019.
Awesome. Yeah. Kelly, thank you so much for doing this.
This was so
amazing.
That was wellness expert Kelly Levesque of Be Well by Kelly. Thank you for listening to this episode of Second Life. For more interviews with inspiring women like Kelly, head over to mydomain.com, where we have a whole slew of stories for you to peruse. As always, I'm interested in knowing who you want to hear from on this show. So you can either send your request to secondlife@mydomain.com, or you can just DM me on Instagram. I'm Hillary Kerr. If you like today's show, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to rate us and review us and maybe screenshot us and put it in your Instagram stories and tag me and make me happy, I wouldn't mind. I'm Hillary Kerr, and you've been listening to Second Life by MyDomain.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.